Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Having come to Romans chapter 16, we are dealing with the subject of church letters. Now, to many, that seems like an extremely obscure topic, and one that hardly deserves time on the Beacon Broadcast, but I'm convinced that when we understand the issues that are involved and the principles that underlie this, we will come to realize that this may be one of the most important topics that we could possibly ever discuss, apart from the doctrine of salvation through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ and his substitutionary death upon the cross of Calvary. Now you recall that Paul in Romans 16 is talking about Phoebe. He said in verse 1, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has need of. For indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. So evidently Phoebe is going to be traveling to Rome. Paul is writing an epistle to Rome, to the church at Rome. Paul wants the church at Rome to recognize Phoebe as a sister in Christ, indeed a very exemplary sister in Christ, and to receive her into the life of the church at Rome and to treat her like they would any other member of their church, showing the same kind of brotherly love and practical assistance to her that they would to the members of the church that they have known and loved for many years, even though she is a stranger to them. In those days, of course, you didn't travel to another city normally just to stay for a day or two, because travel was so arduous that it had to be a pretty significant reason. So the only reason you would stay a day or two is if you were simply traveling on, taking a moment to pause in a longer travel. But if you needed to go to another city for business, you would wait until you had significant enough business to stay for some months, no doubt, in order to make it worth your while. So that's what Phoebe's doing. And so when she's going to Rome, she's going to be away from Cenchrea, a rather close but smaller town to the city of Corinth, and she would be away from her church in Cenchrea. And therefore, she needed to be received into the church at Rome. Now, here's another interesting aspect of this that I'll take a moment for, and that is to show you the parallel here to the idea of associate church membership. Now, that's not practiced by everyone, and that even becomes a little more obscure to some. But there's a reason for it, and this particular instance, I think, illustrates the reason perfectly. What is associate church membership? I mentioned that in a sermon several years ago, and someone who heard that sermon on the internet recently emailed me to ask for clarification. So here's clarification for anyone else who might be wondering about the same thing. In our church, we practice associate church membership for people who, well, let me just give you one category of people. I won't try to give you another one or two to confuse the issue, but people like are in Phoebe's situation, whose permanent residence is in another town, whose established membership is in another church, but they're going to be sojourning in our city for an extended period of time, not just for a week or two, but for a period of months or maybe even for a couple of years. And so while they are here, they need to be recognized in our church. If they're going to become active as members of the body of Christ, active in their local church, as they ought to do. But And some people would say, well, they just need to move their membership. Leave Church A, become a member of Church B. When they return to their town again, they become a member of Church A all over again. And that's the same way some people would handle it. But in some situations, when we know that their move is temporary, it's not that they have relocated from town A to town B to our town, but are simply here on temporary assignment, as, for example, attending university in our town. We had this happen a number of years ago. In fact, this is what caused us to adopt the idea of church membership. We had a young man come to us who had just recently enrolled in Elon University in our area, active member of a Baptist church in Florida, very involved in that church. As I talked to him about it, it became apparent that he was thoroughly involved in that church, very committed to the Lord and to that church, and subsequently, by the way, in some years to come, became involved in mission work and full-time Christian service in another part of the world. So that's the level of young man he was. Now, the church back home had been his church, his family's church, I think, his church all of his life, ever since he had been saved, and they were even, if I recall, helping him some in financially in attending school. That there was a strong tie to his home church. He didn't want to leave his membership in his home church. He didn't want to. The church didn't want him to. He wanted to retain that. But a person can't really become a member of two churches at the same time. So, what to do? He wanted to become involved in our church and to become involved at an active level, having a ministry assignment. But he was not known to our people. Now, I back up to say that in our day and time, I'm afraid most churches wouldn't even consider this an issue. Come right on in, brother. What do you want to do? You want to teach a Sunday school class? Help yourself. But if we take church membership a little more seriously, we understand, no, there's a process here, and you don't use people to minister in the name of your church unless they have become members of your church, have given their testimony of conversion to the church, have been recognized by the church as having a valid Christian testimony, have placed themselves under the authority of your church, have proven themselves to have the level of Christian maturity and experience and testimony that would allow them to enter into a place of service, such as teach a Sunday school class, all of these things. So how are we going to handle that if he's going to continue to be a member of his home church? And by the way, in this particular case, he didn't continue his studies at Elon College. He was there for, if I recall, for a year at the most. Might not even have finished out the year, and went back home. So it really turned out to even be more temporary than he thought. But in the meantime, he was planning, his initial plans were to come there to school, go home, though, at Christmas and other times. His family lived there. His permanent residence was in Florida. To go home during the summer, be back home for 3 months and back to school. So he would be here for approximately 9 months out of the year, but even that would be interrupted by occasional trips back home. And his permanent residence was home, and his home church was in Florida. So what do we do in a situation like that? Well, at the time, we didn't have any provision. But after that experience, we adopted the concept of associate church membership. And for that, we asked people to go through exactly the same process that a member would go through and be received in exactly the same way, give their testimony to the church in exactly the same way, and be admitted into the church as an associate member, which puts the church on notice that they are not here as a permanent resident. And an associate member, therefore, has all of the privileges and responsibilities of a regular church member except voting privileges. They don't have the right to vote on church business, because they retain the right to vote on church business in Florida. And so you can be a member of one church at a time. That's the idea. But associate membership recognizes these situations when people are temporarily in another city and long enough that they want to and need to become involved in a church in that city, even though they are returning home. Well, that's exactly what I see here in Romans 16. That's what Paul is doing for Phoebe. He is recommending that the church at Rome treat her as an associate member. They didn't have that term in that day, but the concept is very clearly here. While she's there, I want you to treat her just like any other member of your church. Now, listen to these verses again, thinking through what I just said, and you'll realize that that's exactly what you have here. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you, for indeed she has been a helper of many, and of myself also. So, Paul wrote a letter. Actually, he included this within the body of a larger letter. But if Paul had not been writing this larger letter that we call the Book of Romans, the Epistle to the Church at Rome, if he had not been writing this longer letter, he might have written a letter, a very short one, that just addressed the situation with Phoebe. I'm sure it would have had some polite greetings to begin with, greetings from Paul to the saints which are at Rome. I esteem you highly in love for the gospel's sake and pray for your welfare. I'm writing you because I want to commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in the manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Love in Christ, Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, or something like that. That would have been the contents of a church letter. Paul communicating to the church at Rome and introducing Phoebe to them, because she was unknown to them. So this takes care of her reputation and testimony from the past. How can the church at Rome know that she is a Christian? Well, you say she could tell them. Okay, they could hear her testimony and satisfy themselves about that. But this is better for two reasons. Number one, because it gives a testimony to her testimony. As we know, words are cheap. And many a person has professed to be a Christian who turns out to have been a scoundrel. And if people from their past could have been around to testify regarding their testimony, they would have said, wait a minute, this person is a slick talker. They talk like a Christian. They present themselves a Christian. But here's what they did in the last church they were at. I wish we'd had warnings like that a time or two. I don't have time to give you examples of that. But a testimony to her testimony is superior. And furthermore, Paul is not only testifying as to her identity as a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, but also as to her testimony and reputation as a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ over a period of time in her home church. Now the church at Rome knows all of that. They know that by this communication, this letter that came to them. And so they are free to receive her rather quickly. They don't have to investigate her quite as thoroughly. They don't have to watch her quite as carefully. They have this testimony, and they can receive her immediately, just as if she had established a testimony before them. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.